Hello, good afternoon or good morning, wherever you are listening to us. I welcome you to the K+S Q1 conference call, and I ask for your understanding that we meet only today, the day after the annual general meeting. As you can imagine, we can never calculate its duration in advance, and therefore we do it the next day. I'm joined by Joachim Felker, my colleague and member of the Board of Executive Directors, responsible for the fertilizer units, and by Christian Herrmann, our head of the investor relations. Before we start, I need to apologize another time because I have to inform you that our today's call has to be limited to 1 hour. I need to leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, our time. But I think this should be sufficient to answer all or most of your questions, and I know that you are very familiar with our investor relations department. Please contact them afterwards if there is any need. So now to highlight some of our information to the Q1 results. With excellent farm economics around the globe, farmers have strong reason to increase crop yields and crop quality. And against this background of international potash fertilizer manufacturers producing close to their installed capacities or even higher, potash prices have strengthened significantly since the beginning of the year. In addition, most of you know that the Indian and Chinese contract settlement supported the international price level achieved at that time and underlined that customers' primary concern is still product availability. In Europe, we started with prices for granular MOP at 219 euros and lifted the price level 5 times in just 4 months to 450 euros. In Brazil, the year started still below $400, and you know that one competitor already announced $1,000 per ton for the third quarter. Although this might be regarded as rather aggressive, we all have to acknowledge that producers are allocating potash and that the $750 price level has already been executed. Compensativa benefited as well from strong fertilizer demand at very attractive prices, while input costs for raw materials have risen tangibly. On the other hand, with regards to salt, the mild weather conditions at the beginning of the year in Western Europe and, for the first time in North America, for us negatively affected our de-icing salt sales in this important first quarter. The next slide allows for a short look at the change of K+S Group's revenues within the first quarter. Revenues increased by almost 270 million euro or 28% year on year. As you can see on that slide, the increase was due to price effects in the fertilizer business, which clearly overcompensated for negative volume and currency effects. The group's consolidation scope changed only slightly. With the average US dollar exchange rate at 150 US dollar per euro in the first quarter of this year, compared to 131 US dollar per euro in Q1 07, the currency effect on revenues amounted to about minus 35 million euro, or just under 4%. This table is something which Christian Herrmann likes very much, which I will touch only shortly. It shows, and it should be understood as a rough indication, as just a rough indication, how prices have developed. Factors like freight costs, exchange rate, product mix can distort that picture. Year on year, as well as Q1 compared with Q4, European and overseas prices increased once again tangibly. This was attributable to higher prices in all product areas of this business unit. In euro terms, however, weaker US dollar exchange rate against the euro, to repeat that, mitigated the strong rise in overseas prices. Key figures in Q1 2008. As explained, revenues rose by 28% to 1.2 billion euro because of higher prices despite slightly lower sales volumes and negative currency effects. Operating earnings increased even stronger by 119% mainly caused by a higher earnings contribution of the three fertilizer units. Earnings per share reached €3.95 and were thus up 160%. Besides the strong operating performance, the lower tax rate as a result of the German tax corporate tax reform contributed as well. Capital expenditure in Q1 remained more or less flat, resulting in a free cash flow of €106 million, which is significantly higher than last year. Net debt reached €1 billion and was thus up 41% compared to last year, but lower than the figure on 31st December 07, the figure of the end of last year. Most of Q1's free cash flow was used, as you can imagine, to pay down debt. Financial results, only a few remarks. At minus €2.3 million, the financial results for the first quarter was up by €8 million on the same period last year. And as you can see from this chart, the improvement was caused by the disposal of financial investments, which were used now for our CTA program to finance pension provisions. You see that it was about €20 million lower in our balance sheet than the year before. Next slide. Putting the last quarterly figures into perspective, it is quite obvious that K+S is on track despite the mild weather conditions in Europe and in the United States. What brings me therefore to our outlook for the entire year 2008. And this slide is quite well known to you since we used it for the first time in our press conference and our following analyst conference. You see anyway that the figures have changed, but the trend which we highlighted already in those days has maintained. Potash and magnesium products, you have seen what we did in the past, the resulting price effect now should amount to be at least 60%, while we have discussed 40% roughly in March. We see that currency and volume effects will have a dampening effect, but nevertheless, this is written under the first bullet point, our anticipated price effect should significantly overcompensate operating cost increases as well as currency and volume effects, and we changed the word triplicate to quadruplicate of EBIT1, and now we are there, what we have as an aspect into the future. Compo and Fativa, more or less, it has been mentioned already, are benefiting from the situation as well, whilst we think that the salt division will need a very, very strong and powerful first fourth quarter in order to come in the neighborhood of that what they were able to deliver last year. And the small complementary business segments more or less are right on track if you take into account that the sale of Biodata Analytics GmbH was an extraordinary effect for the year 2007. So to sum up this, in our last slide, this was what we issued yesterday. We think it will be a very prosperous year 2008, where revenues should rise significantly, where the major increase of operating earnings are expected, and you see what we said, that we think that we can duplicate the EBIT one contribution in our group. So all in all, I'm quite happy to see what we did already in the first quarter, and I'm more than happy to see what we can do in the next three quarters until the end of the year. I'm very confident that this what we issued today or the day before will be very realistic, and therefore I'm happy to get your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your question will be polled in the order they are received. One moment, please, for the first question. First question comes from Matthias Pfeifenberger. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi there, Matthias Pfeifenberger from Deutsche Bank.
One second. Are you in the neighboring room?
You can't hear me?
I hear you if you were in the neighbor room. So
very clear, very loud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I tried to whisper then, okay? Just a couple of questions. Good afternoon, gentlemen. You said it's not really aggressive, the US dollar 1,000, given the current supply situation. Do you think that the US dollar 1,000 could materialize broadly in the markets by July? That's what I guess the majority of the market participants say. And is it likely that you could follow up with your international pricing and follow suit in European pricing by, let's say, 2 months later with a 4 weeks time lag, or do you think that will take more time? Second question, and I know you have made statements about that already, we appreciate this. Any more color on greenfield projects, on your relationship with Andrei Melnichenko, anything new here, and also with the statements we saw that you could intend to bid for DSM's agro business. Any more light on that? Thanks.
Matthias, I'm going to start with the second question. Joachim Felker will do the first one. I think you follow our statements quite intensively over a long period of time, and you know me quite well meanwhile.
Yeah.
And therefore, I need to say always the same that I used to say. Greenfield, we are on track. We are doing more than one project right now in our analysis. And as we were quite early last year with some announcements that we were quite close to the end of some positive end, I said to myself, and everybody knows that, that I will communicate on that when we are through. So as we didn't do that yesterday, we are not yet through with a greenfield project, and therefore the Cables S Group, starting from myself down to the people that are involved in such projects, need to wait for a certain period of time.
Yes, appreciate that.
Melnichenko, I was informed by several sources that there were rumors in the market as of today that Melnichenko or Linea or MMC were in the process of selling their shares. I have no information about that at all. It can be a rumor, that can be a reality, but the relations to Linea, MMC, Melnichenko are like we have described them several times before. We have given them consulting advices twice. We have offered them cooperation. On the other hand, we have agreed on confidentiality about our discussions, and therefore there is no room for me to go further on. And the last issue pertaining for DSW is something which Joachim Felker would like to comment on as well.
Okay, then let's start with DSM. So DSM has announced a concept which they call 2010, if I remember correctly, and what they want to sell is a couple of products or product line which is concentrated around ammonia, which is melamine, urea, ammonia, nitric acid, and granulation. They have postponed the project for several times, and at present they say that they will come out with details end of the year. And there are a lot of people in the market who have fantasy which thinking that BSF and K plus S would be a wonderful couple to have a look at this value chain. We haven't seen any details. We will study it. And if it's something good, then we will have a closer look. Question number one, $1,000. You are certainly following publications on the Chinese market, the Indian market. In this case, the prices are contract prices, which will run till the end of the year at least, and they are around $650, $675. So these are two of the biggest importers of potash. And there will be no additional price move there. There are contracts made at the present in big markets like Brazil, but also some Asian markets for 750. Announcement made for 1,000. I guess that by end of the third quarter, a realistic price level should be 750. And then I see our salesman must need a lot of convincing power to spring prices even more up, because when I would be a huge customer in Brazil, and I know that the price in India and in China would be 650, why should I accept 1,000 and my price is 750? So I think there will be a lot of work necessary in quarter four to reach 1,000. Besides this, perhaps you have a look at the publication also of PVC. Mr. Nikolayenko has also made some statements when it comes to the $1,000, and they are one of the biggest exporters in the world.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Henrik Olsen. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Good afternoon. It's Henrik Olsen at Lincoln Vale Tranberg in London. I just would like to hear your thoughts on the Chinese situation. They came in very late in the year and they've been given pro rata allocations, which means that I would have thought that they will need extra volumes in the beginning of next year. Alternatively, if they will try to buy in the spot market this year, what's your view on that and whether that will have an impact on the pricing as well?
Should I answer this one too? So this is Joachim Felker again. Well, there has been a statement, I think end of last week, by Sinofert that the Chinese market could be undersupplied by 3 million tons of potash. On the other hand, there are some announcements made by big export organizations like Canpotex and PVC that they will try to avoid long-term contracts and go on more monthly contracts. I think what the Chinese have learned is that waiting and speculating that with their bargaining power they could decrease prices for the second time has not worked, and I think that is why they have also made an announcement that they want to start now already discussions on prices in 2009. Now, if I would be a big supplier in China, in this case, I would let them wait for a few months. That's my command.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Martin Rödiger. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hello, this is Martin Rödiger from Chevrolet in Frankfurt. First of all, congratulations for your good results. Two questions, one on strategy, the second on the potash fertilizer market. For strategy, Mr. Steiner, you mentioned yesterday towards the press that you think about acquisitions, investments and cooperations with partners on greenfield projects. Does that word investment mean you consider also minority stakes in companies? Is any priority within these three options? And do I understand you correctly that you could do several projects at the same time? This is a question on strategy. And the second on market in potash fertilizers. Do you expect more potash licenses to be auctioned in the near future, given the fact that deposits with even low ingredient yield now become lucrative due to the rising potash fertilizer price?
Norbert Steiner, answering the first question to strategy. I thought I did not say anything new yesterday in our annual shareholder meeting. I tried to be as broad as possible when it comes to the different options for the growth of the K plus S group. So, but on the other hand, I always have named my, let's say, favorites. It is something that adds capacity to the existing capacity in that time frame of 5 to 6 years from now on, or from the start of such a challenge onwards. And therefore, I said this should favorably be done with a local partner, where K plus S, of course, will or should be the part of that cooperation that brings in expertise, competence, and so on. And therefore, I would not be very enlightened to be in a minority position. So my favorite with respect to cooperation is at least the 50-50 situation. On the other hand, as growth is not taking place only on expected and upcoming volumes that might be for sale in 2014, 2015, I did not exclude also acquisitions, but there is no real specific target on our desk right now. And therefore, we need to do that, we need to analyze that, but I think that was not something pretty new, what I said in that respect, but I can confirm what I did before.
Okay, so then I will take over, Martin, the question for other deposits and what's possible. So in the good old days when we had been in elementary school, we had a book where it showed all the maps in the world, Africa and all these things. And in front of this book, usually there were deposits, and you could also see the potash deposits. Now, if you take such a book and look at it, you can see that the deposits in, let's say, more traditional countries, more, how should I say, market economy countries, they are more or less gone. There is some trade going on now in Saskatoon in Saskatchewan and in Manitoba, where people are trading licenses a little bit. There are some deals done there. But otherwise, it becomes now very exotic. So when you go and have a look at this map, you can find potash deposits in Ethiopia, very nice place. Cool. Kazakhstan, you can go to Kazakhstan, there are two. The next market to reach would be China, which is about 6,000 kilometers by rail. There is one in Nipskoye, which is near Irkutsk. Very nice area, snow all the time, 60 degrees below zero in winter. So I think there are a lot of deposits still available, whether they are economical and whether potash producers are already desperate enough to touch these, to exploit product, I wonder very much. So I think there's not much done. And when you see the more traditional projects we have, how slow they are developing. Eurochem, since 2005, even a little bit early, has a license in Volga-Kali. Everybody said at that time, how can you buy something like this? They haven't even started yet. They have done nothing there because it's so complex. They find out the deposit is very deep. There's water on top. They don't find the right drilling equipment. So I think we have to be very careful in where to start, what to buy. And if you don't have a lot of venture capital, I think traditionally you will not do it.
And this is one of the reasons why we are, I think, realistic that it will take some time before new capacities on the greenfield will come on stream. Now we have middle of May, and no movement has been seen yet with respect to Rio Tinto in Argentina. So all of that, what we have brought together in our famous slide number, what is it, 17? 17, that all of you know quite well. It's very optimistic. It always takes into account that everything that is should be added to the existing capacities will be there in due time. But you see the postponements and the difficulties. And therefore, I can only confirm what I've heard from other sources recently, what we also commented on several times. We think that the supply and demand situation will be very, very tight until 2012 at least, but there are also some good chances, so to say, that it will prevail longer. Okay, Martin?
Thanks.
The next question comes from Sophie Jourdier. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, afternoon. It's Sophie Jourdier from Citigroup here in London. Just wonder whether I could ask three questions, please. First of all, in terms of your Q1 results, the operating cost inflation was lower than at least we were anticipating. Could you just talk about what you expect for the year in terms of operating cost progression? That's the first question. Second question, just in terms of, again, priorities for cash. Obviously, your cash generation is accelerating quite strongly at the moment. You've obviously got projects that are potentially interesting. But how near do you think you are to having to think about other uses of cash and obviously sort of share buybacks being one option? The third question is just in terms of environmental capex. Is there any environmental capex needed in the next 1 or 2 years? Thanks.
Okay. With respect to the cost inflation that you mentioned, I would like to refer once again to our slide number 7 that we used. And in connection with that, we read very briefly and very abstract that we see that we said that the price effect should significantly overcompensate operating cost increase. So I'm concentrating on the cost development in potash and magnesium product sector. And what we did in the past was to sum up the major items like energy, depreciation, personnel, logistics, and so on. At the beginning of the year until the middle of March, we were of the opinion that it was rather in the neighborhood of 110, 120 or so. But we have seen since then significant price increases and cost increases for us, for our side, so to say. And we should, from today's perspective, be rather in the neighborhood of 140. Anyway, this cost increase is lower than the increase in prices, and therefore we were able and will be able, if everything comes true like we expect it to be, will increase our margin significantly. Cash, of course, is generated by the success, hopefully, that we will have in 2008. Please remember that we needed to spend a lot of cash in the end of 2007 to maintain our old, meanwhile buried, double barrier option system, and therefore we need to catch up something what we did there in the past. So we attributed it something of the cash that we were able to generate in the first quarter to reduce our net debt position. This will continue. And then I can only refer to that what we discussed before in that conference call, that we are trying to get quick access to a expansion project for the K+S group. And you know certainly the figures that are around with that, $1.x billion for 1 million ton of capacity. Don't forget the situation that licenses, meanwhile, have increased their price significantly, and therefore this is at least the edge where I would like, or we would like, to invest, and therefore we will maintain the situation for a certain period of time before we would even get to a decision or discussion about a share buyback. We, by the way, have renewed the authorization by the annual shareholders meeting yesterday, so we have another 18 months for doing that, but it is not on the table right now. The third part of your question with respect to environmental issues, we have given for several opportunities guidance that the environmental situation could be worse than it is today. What we see right now is that we need to do something with respect to CapEx, maybe, but this is something which from today's perspective will not touch significantly the year 2008, but I'm thinking, I think it's a little bit premature to be a little bit more precise on that. We need to watch the situation, we need to analyze the situation, and on the other hand, with respect to that's what we have on the table as the price effects, as the margins that we have, I would say we can absorb that. But please, I'm not in a position right now to be more precise.
Thank you very much. Very helpful. Thanks.
Next question comes from Saul Rand. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Saul Rands from Dresdner Klein Ward. I have a couple of questions actually just coming back to the Q1 numbers. My first question is relating to the potash and magnesium division and your volumes. Obviously, you had a decline of 8% in Q1 in volume, and you mentioned in the report that your potassium chloride volume was down compared with last year. Could you tell us what happened to the volumes in specialty fertilizer products and industrial products compared with Q1 2007? That's my first question. And then secondly, I have a question about Compo. You mentioned in the report that increases in the price of raw materials such as ammonia and phosphate are not yet reflected fully in your first quarter costs. Could you just remind us if there's any kind of rule that we can use for the potential time delay between raw material costs being reflected in market prices and coming through into your costs? In other words, in Q1, was Compo benefiting from a temporary window where your prices have gone up but your costs haven't come through, or is that something, are your margins sustainable for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Okay, so first question, less volumes for the potash division in the first quarter. That's reasonable or very easy to explain. We had less inventory end of last year. Our stocks are empty, so we can just not deliver as much as we did in previous periods. In most of the products, the biggest one is the standard products. Number two, the remark on Compo in the first quarter, or also for the future, it is true that ammonia prices are definitely having an influence on the Compo operating result. What we have done to be more, how should I say, more actual to raw material prices, we have changed pricing systems in some of the key markets. In former times, we had a pricing system which was valid for 6 months, more or less. Now we have shortened this one, and we are in a much easier position to pass on price increases, basically, again, for potash, but also for other input factors. So I think we have done some homework there and has changed pricing systems.
To add one remark, we are quite happy about the development that Compo did in the first quarter, if you compare that with the first quarter last year. And taking into account what Joachim mentioned a second ago, one should not do a mistake in order to quadruple the several quarters for the Compo business. The first quarter has historically been the strongest quarter in sales, since Compo is centered on Central and Western Europe, also with the majority of their professional products, and this is still the case also in 2008. So we started very well into the year. Our outlook for the year is also very promising, but please do not come back with an ambition to lift Compo. We would like it, of course, to 140 million euro EBIT contribution in 2008.
Okay. May I just come back on the first point, just regarding potash? Could you tell us specifically if your volume in specialty products was up or down compared with Q1 last year, and also the same question with volume for industrial products? Are you able to give us that information?
We had a little bit of shift from standard agricultural products to industrial products. There are some quantities have moved. Then there are some specialty products. It depends on the product line. Some has been up, some has been down. And you have to be also careful in such a way that when it comes to big shipping units, that means two or three big Panamaxes, and they are postponed from, let's say, 30th of
March,
March 31st of March, to 1st of April, then this goes straight into the next quarter. And our principle for the time being is to ship big units also to overseas, so there can be an overlapping of easily 100,000 tons from one quarter to the other, because what is the situation now? We have so little stocks in our seaports that when a big Panamax is arriving, we need 3 or 4 days even to load them up. So sometimes we have even not enough product to load them, which is not a nice situation.
But anyway, I would like to stress once again what I said generally for the year 2008. And Joachim mentioned that. Our inventories were low at the beginning of the year when you compare it with the year 2006 into the 2007. So we were able to increase the sales volumes in 2007, and as the situation is like described, we are not in a position to catch that up. That means that we will have something in the neighborhood of 8 million tons, but not in the neighborhood of 8.1 or 2 what we had last year. Yeah, this is something which is impossible to catch up. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone.
Nobody else anymore? So, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for the questions. And once again, the remark, if you have further questions or remark, please do not hesitate to contact the IR. And from time to time, there is one left. I got a signal. Who is it?
Mr. Fikus from Westerbeek.
Mr. Fikus, are you allowed to talk already? We are through. Hello? Are we online still?
You're still online, sir. There's one.
Signal that there is still one who wants to place a question.
And the last question comes from Wolfgang Fuchs. Please state your company name followed by your question.
Hello? Well, nobody else?
Operator, there should be a wait, or what do you mean?
This concludes the K+S Q1 result conference call. You may disconnect your line now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.